Welcome to Global Talk, a podcast from the National's Foreign Desk. I'm Justin Vella. On the line is reporter Josh Wood, who is currently on assignment for the newspaper in Djibouti, the East African country where numerous people from Yemen are fleeing to escape the conflict in their country. Josh, can you tell us who are the people that are fleeing to Djibouti?
Well, most of the refugees that I've encountered here in Djibouti are from southern Yemen, places like Ib, Aden, and Taiz. The number of refugees in Djibouti remains quite small. The UN has registered just over 1,200 as of last week. A lot of the people I've met have been quite educated and were quite well off in Yemen, so they're finding it quite difficult to adjust to refugee life here. All these people have family ties to the West. A lot of them speak English, some with American accents, some even wear, Yankees caps and baseball T-shirts. They're very focused on getting resettled in a third country. But a Yemeni passport doesn't really get you too far in the international community. I think there's just over 30 countries that Yemenis can go to and get a visa on arrival or they don't need a visa to. And in the Arab world, it's only Jordan they can go to. So they're very limited as far as where they can go. The refugee camp, where probably about 900 of them live, is in the north of the country near a town called Obok. It's a four-hour drive from Djibouti, the capital where the majority of the population lives, or an hour by a speedboat. It's a very hot, remote area. The camp's about 5 kilometers from the town center. And to get there, these people have to walk that whole distance to do anything, like buy any food items they wouldn't get in their refugee aid packs or just charge their phones so they can speak to their family back in Yemen. They shower by water that they carry from nearby collection points. And it's a life that these people really aren't used to. And so they're really not enjoying it.
And what did these refugees say about the fighting that's taking place in Yemen? I'm sure you heard a range of opinions.
Well, with many of the refugees from the south, a lot of the people I've encountered here have been very anti-Houthi. They call them terrorists. In speaking to fresh arrivals from Aden the other day, there's the feeling that, the anti-Houthi line in Aden isn't holding up too well, and that that potentially a complete Houthi takeover of the city is inevitable. These people that I met, who just got off the boat a couple days ago, they were fleeing because they thought their neighborhood was about to fall. Now, while there is the heavy criticism of the Houthis, that doesn't mean the Saudis scrape the criticism as well. One refugee I met described how Houthi snipers took up a position in Aden on the top of a building where families were living in. People who they said, like them, were anti-Houthi. The Saudis bombed the building, killed families inside. So there's some concern about the way the Saudis are conducting airstrikes.
Right. And the UN is in charge of helping the refugees in Djibouti. What is the scale of the UN's operations, and what kind of challenges do you see them facing as they try to move aid from Djibouti over to Yemen?
Well, the UN's still getting on its feet here, and they're trying to respond as best they can. They still term this as an emergency situation. The escalation of this war is a couple months old. They say that the refugee camps in the north of the country, they can be expanded to hold 5,000 people. Obviously, as I described before, the facilities in these camps is right now very, very basic. The UN says that they're going to try and improve this down the line, but they're just focused on the emergency aspect of it right now. In the meantime, they're facing significant criticism from refugees because of living conditions, and also because the UN has been slow to give them things like ID cards, which they see as necessary to get their rights and move around the country freely, go to embassies, and push their case for resettlement in third countries. The UN's tried to improve. They've tried to assure them that the situation will improve, that things are rough right now because it's an emergency situation. But I guess we'll see how it plays out.
So your sense that the UN and the Djibouti government are preparing for refugees to continue to come from Yemen in the long term?
Yeah, they're preparing for them to come in the long term, but we're not seeing them making preparations for a mass exodus out of Yemen. And it still remains to be seen if there will be a mass exodus. I think the Yemenis, the ones who've been coming so far, think they can get resettled to a third country, either through familial ties or something like that. Most aren't planning on staying or settling down here. For Yemenis who don't have the option to get to a third country, Not as many are looking for safe haven in Djibouti, I don't think, because life here is quite difficult and the economy here isn't good, and they can't get jobs or integrate in the way they might be able to in Arab countries. From a lot of refugees I met here, their family members have gone into the hills in Yemen, back to the villages where, you know, fighting isn't quite as bad. Life's rough and there's no electricity. And they're short on gas and all those things, but, you know, they're safe for the time being.
Mm-hmm. And Djibouti and the U.S. have had a somewhat longstanding security relationship, but Washington hasn't encouraged much business investment there. Now you've seen other countries, including the UAE, that are starting to do that. Who are these countries and why are they interested in investing in Djibouti?
Okay, well, Djibouti really established itself as the only real safe, accessible, major, well-equipped port in the Horn of Africa. That especially came about, you know, the height of the piracy surge that we saw. Since then, we've seen hundreds of millions of dollars invested in expanding the port facilities here. It sits at the crossroads of where Africa and the Middle East meet. It's a very narrow choke point in the Red Sea. A lot of people have to pass through here. And it's also where you offload a bunch of your cargo for, say, Ethiopia, second biggest country in Africa, 90 million people. So it's huge market potential, and people are starting to see the economic value. The Chinese, who have invested heavily all over Africa, are setting their feet down pretty hard in Djibouti as well. They're building a railroad connecting Djibouti to Ethiopia, and they've also invested in heavily in the infrastructure, including the port projects here. But it's not just a strategic place for investments. Djibouti's geographic position at this choke point on a major waterway really puts it makes it of prime military importance. And the U.S. had a long-standing relationship with Djibouti. The U.S. facilities here have been instrumental to the U.S. launching strikes in Somalia and Yemen. It's about the base here was a cornerstone of the U.S. drone program. Previously, Djibouti only let the U.S. And its allies build bases. Japan and France also have facilities here. Recently, the Russians came try to build a base, but the Djiboutian government turned them back, citing a conflict of interest. But that might start to be changing as there's now talk the Chinese will establish a base here, potentially part of China's String of Pearls bases that can go across the Indian Ocean. And obviously, Chinese investments have been heavy here. It seems they want to also stay here. So that could signify that Djiboutians are interested in courting multiple actors. Also, we've seen, you have smaller powers as well. Iran, they built the country's parliament building here last year. So while the U.S. does have this strong diplomatic relationship, a lot of other countries are trying to court with Djibouti as well.
Given this country's strategic importance, do you think the Djibouti government is going to be increasingly concerned about the number of refugees coming over from Yemen as the conflict goes on?
I think so. It depends how many come. Right now, it's still quite small. What the government has done for the refugees, they've started to give them, they've made the visa process easier. They've basically opened the doors of the country to the refugees who are coming here. It's really limited to how much the Djiboutian government can take care of these refugees. This country is very poor. Unemployment stands around 60%. Life expectancy at birth is 47 years. Personal income is extremely low. And they face other challenges as well. The consumption of the drug COPS, amphetamine, that's popular in the Horn of Africa and also in Yemen, it goes beyond social use here. It's something that many people's lives revolve around, and it just grinds the whole city to a halt in the afternoon, and very little gets done. I can't begin to quantify probably how much that affects the economy overall. The poverty here is very easy to see. I mean, the Djiboutian government can't really take care of its own people, so I don't see how much they can take care of the Yemenis. Basically, what they've done right now is given space, which they have plenty of, and they've given them quite... some of the rougher areas of the country as far as, heat and lack of resources, and they've facilitated their entry into the country. I don't know what else they can do beyond that.
To read Josh's stories, visit thenational.ae/world and follow us on Twitter @thenationalrome.